at 93, an afternoon shower or storm chance. Richard Wedding at the Weather Channel for Town Square Media, Tuscaloosa.
It's 90 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
And knocked down again. That was Christian Miller.
It's time for the Miller's Edge with four-time SEC champion and two-time national champion Christian Miller.
Once again with Christian Miller taking him down.
Here is college football playoff national champion Christian Miller on Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTBC.
And welcome into this Talking Tuesday edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Hope you guys are doing well, ready for another fun day here on the show. We had a good one yesterday, Chase. I think we hit our peak number of viewers, I think of all time during the show. It was a fun one. So appreciate all you guys that tuned in. Hopefully we can have another great day here on this Talking Tuesday edition of the Miller's Edge. Typically we have Clint Lamb joining us, but he reached out, said he had to had a punt to another day again this week, so we'll reschedule that. That means we're pretty much open. So 205-342-9904, I want to go ahead and throw that phone number out for you guys, let you guys co-host, because again, Talking Tuesday, that's kind of the whole point of this thing. We want you guys engaged and included on all the conversations that we plan on having. So we'd love for you guys to join us on those phone lines whenever that may be, if you guys have some time. If you're on your lunch break, cool. If not, don't get in trouble. I know sometimes, Chase, we have some people sneak off to the side, hop on the phone lines, man. Don't get in trouble now. We'd love to talk to you, but I don't want you guys getting in trouble. But definitely want you guys in on the conversation. Got a couple of things we'll dive into, at least early on. And, of course, you know how this goes, Chase. We kind of just let the wind take us wherever it takes us. And that's kind of what we'll do today. But a couple of topics. Number one, what a tough night last night for all of us U.S. soccer fans. And I know there's a lot of folks that are newly U.S. soccer fans. But listen, round of applause for the men's soccer team. They made it the round of 16. It was a great tournament, a great run, very exciting. And then how about last night, Chase? They just did not show up to play, man. I'm seeing all types of memes, including remember when we played Southern Cal in 2016 and Southern Cal was, you know, they're acting like there were dogs coming out of the tunnel. They had guys crawling on the ground and swaying back and forth. And at the end of the game, it was like 52-6 or something crazy like that. That's kind of what it felt like last night. What, 4-1? We lost to Belgium. And, you know, Belgium's a good team. They got some good players on it. But I feel like we just played uncharacteristically last night. Just, I don't know, man. Something felt off. Did you feel that way, too, watching that game with the U.S. last night against Belgium?
100%, Christian. It just felt like they were not mentally prepared to be on the pitch with Belgium. Belgium just showed why they are a world-class team, and they do this in their sleeps. And what's funny is it was more inflicting than what Belgium was doing. You know, I just felt like the U.S. was just, they were playing like a high school team. A goalkeeper, a lot of mistakes left and right. Defenders is looking both ways. It just felt like the worst time to have a bad game. They had it last night, and I feel like this is going to be a stinker until 2030, because if you look at all the teams that are like favored right now, they're winning by like a goal. It's not like someone's just dominating every game. Like, I know France and Norway, they're doing really well in Argentina, but if you looked at like Spain, they barely escaped their last match. So it's just, you know, the U.S. has the talent, but I think just one player in particular I'm a little disappointed is Christian Pulisic. You know, you're called Captain America. You're called the next Landon Donovan, someone that takes that number 10 very seriously, and you get swapped off with a slight injury. I've seen worse injuries, and I've seen it all World Cup. And for you to say in your press conference, oh, it'll go over time, it'll be fine. There's not another game tomorrow. You go back to making millions of dollars internationally, and we just go back to, well, what if with the the team. And I just feel like we had a great squad, you know, but once again, and I'm gonna close with this, it's just another disappointing run that I have to wait until 4 years from now and somehow get my spirits up again, because I just don't know what I didn't know what I was watching yesterday, Christian.
It sounds like you might. Did you have a bet on that game last night, Chase? You definitely took it to heart, man. It sounds like you might have been. Was it Kalshi and or what were these other things that allegedly we had two staffers involved in? Which I guess I mean, listen, probably some young kids on staff. I don't know if you guys saw that, like the self-reported violations. Anyway, you had a wager on the game last night, Chase, or you just the thrill and the passion, man. That was enough to just kind of deflate you.
I would say the thrill and the passion for sure. I think it was just disappointing, you know, because I was really rooting for them this year and for a lot of fans that don't even know about soccer to be involved and to show up to these stadiums and just wear American pride and for them to see that. I don't know what they do moving forward to get that momentum back because you got to wait another 4 years to get a crack at this. Yeah.
And when speaking of 4 years, I mean, that also was why we're seeing some legends go ahead and announce their retirement from, you know, World Cup or at least playing on that stage, right? Cristiano Ronaldo ended up playing his final game in a World Cup yesterday as well. Portugal ended up losing, like you mentioned, to Spain. I think it was like a 90th minute goal, something like that at the last second, and ultimately knocked Portugal out. His last time we'll get to see Cristiano Ronaldo, who was one of my favorite players growing up. I think the whole debate, you know, for folks that always talk basketball GOAT debates and you're not really big into soccer, Ronaldo, Messi, that's kind of like, you know, LeBron and Kobe, at least over the last two decades or so when it comes to football or soccer. And I'll just be honest, Chase, even though I'm a big Ronaldo fan, I think Messi kind of settled the debate, man. Just his performance through this tournament, he's all-time leading scorer in the World Cup. I mean, he just, every game, it's like he's going for at least two. And he just makes it look so effortlessly, man. But Ronaldo, I know he's like 41 now. It's a little bit different. But it sucks seeing that, you know, he's done. Neymar, he announced that he's retiring from, you know, their World Cup team as well. So, I mean, it's weird seeing that because it's like, man, like, these are like guys I grew up watching. And we're kind of moving past that. Hell, even with basketball, like LeBron's, what, 41 as well. I know we're talking about where his next landing spot is going to be, but even just thinking about him retirement, like that his retirement, that's going to feel weird, man. I don't think I'm ready for that. It's you know, it's funny. I thought about this like several years ago. I'm like, man, like once I finally got to be able to play in the NFL, I'm like, man, I'm living out my dreams. Then you start seeing it turn. And even now, I mean, it's to the point where a lot of guys that I play with in college, pretty much most of those guys are wrapping up their careers. And now it's like the next generation. So I'm like, man, I see why old heads really hang on to like the old, you know, greats that were, I guess, in their prime when they were younger. Like, I totally understand it now. Because think about how weird the sports world is, like, once you get older, and then it's just filled with a bunch of guys that are younger than you, or you know what I mean? Does that make sense, Chase? Like, it's just, it's a different feel, man. I feel like I'm kind of approaching that point because, you know, you look at LeBron, you look at Steph, you look at KD in the NBA. Those guys are kind of getting to that point where they're about to move on. Now the NBA is going to be filled with a bunch of young dudes, which, of course, we all love. LaMelo Ball, you know, Anthony Edwards, they're exciting, great players. But it's just different, man. It makes you feel like you're getting old. I don't know. So I totally understand now when the old heads wouldn't, you know, let the, you know, Jordan debate go and they're sticking with Jordan. I get it. That was who they grew up watching. And that was, you know, the best player of their time. And it's hard to kind of let that stuff go. Anyway, instead of reminiscing down memory lane, we got to hit a timeout. We come back. We got some football talk we'll dive into. There's been a number of things come up that I want to talk about. One being, I think Brad, I forgot his last name. He's come on the show before. He covers South Carolina a lot. Anyway, with CBS Sports, he put out a list of true freshmen in SEC that he believes are going to have big impacts this upcoming season. Talk a little bit about that. I know there's Chris Lowe's top quarterback rankings in the SEC that he put out. Definitely want to talk about that because it looks like they're missing a name or two on that list. We'll discuss and get y'all's thoughts on that, plus a number of the things we'll dive into on this Talking Tuesday. Again, we are wide open, 205-342-9904. If you guys want to get in on the conversation, we'd love to have you join in. And, of course, you always can join our streams at The Miller's Edge on YouTube, on X, same thing, at my personal X, at Christian Miller, or on the Tide 100.9 Facebook page. Join us, hang out in the chat, drop your questions, comments, and concerns, and we'll discuss it right here on this Talking Tuesday to the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230. WTBC, quick timeout. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Just best quality to our customers. So we just look at it as, hey, basically, we're your kitchen. You're just coming to eat in your kitchen. Taco Casa, under the biggest cactus in town.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next.
This is what happens when you don't sponsor your job on Indeed. Next time, get matched with quality candidates with Indeed sponsored jobs. Visit Indeed.com/hire now and sponsor your job today.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I wanted to tell you about our friends over at Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy, founded by attorney and professor Adam Lamparello, helping students at every level with mentoring, exam prep, applications, and career planning. Adam also represents students, faculty, and athletes in academic misconduct, First Amendment, NIL, and criminal defense cases, known for real care and relentless advocacy. For
guys and family over to kick off the party. Start celebrating with low prices guaranteed at the Home Depot. Prices may vary by store. Exclusions apply. See HomeDepot.com/price match for details.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-39-
or visit meswins.com. I've got this.
No representations made that the quality of legal services to be performed is greater than the quality of legal services performed by other lawyers.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strong as steel. A specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact Brian Harding Construction today at 205-752-9611. Again, that's Brian Harding Construction at 205-752-9611.
Never miss a moment of the action. Download the free Tide 100.9 app today.
Of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. All right. Talk a little bit about the soccer game last night, man. Again, unfortunately, we lost 4-1. Belgium did their thing, and they ultimately will advance along with España. Spain, they defeated Portugal. Argentina is up playing today, but they are already down. Chase, I'm seeing this right now live. Egypt is already up 1-0 against Argentina. Could this be the end of, I guess, Messi's run in this World Cup? We'll have to see. I don't know. It's way too early. They're only in like the 19th minute. I probably need to pull it up on the other side of my screen right here so I can watch it, because I want to watch Messi play, especially if it's potentially his last. But anyway, Egypt is currently up. But that being said, let's talk a little bit of football. I saw something cool this morning, Chase, that came up. Just a quick little clip. It's about a minute long. Somebody that I played with the Panthers, Greg Olsen, future Hall of Famer. I don't think he's already in the Hall of Fame. Future Hall of Fame tight end, National Football League. He had one of our commits join him on his podcast. In fact, Elijah Haven, five-star quarterback commit, joined Greg Olsen. And just to kind of talk a little bit about his decision to commit to Alabama. So just thought I wanted to play this. Thought you guys might think it was cool. So let's hear from Elijah Haven on Greg Olsen's podcast, talking about why he ultimately chose the Crimson Tide.
Let's dive now into that. Like,
All right, so you get to your final two. It's Alabama and Georgia. For any kid in America, they would cut their arm off to have those two options, especially in the world of football nowadays. Like, what was the end? Like, what about Kalen DeBoer? What about Alabama? What about the situation? You mentioned development made them, when it was time to make a final decision, like, what about Alabama was the final straw?
Yeah, I think for us personally, we felt like we had better relationships with the coaches there. And even through some coaching changes, Alabama just stayed so consistent in, you know, recruiting me. You know, obviously Georgia's a great program. We're so thankful to, you know, Coach Bobo, Coach Smart for, you know, recruiting me and, you know, taking the opportunity off me. But just Bama felt, you know, like more like home, and that ultimately led to my decision.
Well, first things first, Chase, I would say he sounds like a very well-spoken, very respectable young man. Talked about those relationships. So that is kind of refreshing to hear, right? I mean, that relationships still matter in a world that's dominated by bags being dropped, right, in terms of just cash all over the place. We're hearing about potentially the first $1 million running back that's about to be signed here shortly, I guess, or committed, I should say. But Elijah Haven joining my former teammate Greg Olson, talking about those relationships that he had with the staff and how important that was to him when he made his decision. So, Chase, I mean, would you say, and I know that was a 50-second clip, but just by his answer, do you think Bama fans can feel pretty confident, pretty secure in Elijah Haven in terms of his commitment? Because remember, signing day is not until December, right? So we're still like 5 months away until things are you know, the ink is dry and it's official. But he's a you know, very popular commit. You know, I think he's the first ever high school player to be in the NCAA football game, which I believe is out now, or should be out this week. He's a five-star top quarterback prospect. He's been doing his thing this offseason in Elite 11 competitions and whatnot. Judging off his answer, Chase, do you feel pretty confident that he's going to stick with Alabama until signing day?
I think so. I think you base off his answer, relationships. You know, I think that's the one thing that a lot of commits, or I feel like someone that's really interested in a school, wouldn't have said that if they weren't serious about it. You know, you hear a lot of recruits say, oh, you know, I visited the campus, or, you know, I got to meet such and such coach, or the program is nice. It's kind of generic answers, but he generally was smiling when he was talking about the relationships he was making with the coaching staff. And honestly, that probably have a big impact on his decision. And, you know, especially not only him, but the relationships go longer with the parents, you know, with the community of Elijah. So I think it's, I don't say it's a done deal, but he definitely convinced me that he's pretty serious about committing to Alabama.
I would agree with you. I feel like based off his answer, there's a couple things. Like you mentioned, he talked about those relationships. We know anytime somebody mentions relationships, it typically means something, right? I know those are important for me. It's a little bit different back then. There wasn't NIL we had to worry about. But that, then also, you notice he kept saying we. It sounds like his family was also very much included in that process and that decision, which typically when you have situations like that, when it's like a group effort in making that decision, I feel like to flip or to change on that decision, it probably is also going to be a group effort. And I just feel like normally kids that include their parents in that decision and have them a big part of their process, I feel like normally those are, I'm not gonna say like better situations, but I feel like you said, you feel a little bit more trustworthy in a sense. So yeah, I mean, I feel like it's definitely a, I don't know, if you're an Alabama fan, I think you feel good about that, especially in a class where a lot of people have had a lot of complaints, a lot of things to say. But just knowing you got a quarterback who, and I don't know if you've seen these clips, Chase, but like at the Elite 11s and whatnot, some of the clips that have been circulating, man, this kid, he looks like he's going to be the real deal. I'm not going to lie. I'm excited about the type of player that he can be, but not to jump the gun, because we've still got guys like Keelan Russell, hell, even Austin Mack, or even the Jet Tamale. You know, those guys already sit in that quarterback room. There's a lot to be excited about. I know there's a lot that people have questions about, but one thing I think we all can probably agree on is that I would say the quarterback room, I mean, probably has the brightest outlooks and then the brightest upside of any, I guess, room currently on this roster. That's just kind of my opinion, just looking at kind of where we're at now that some of the guys are recruiting. And not to mention, Chase, that's arguably the most important position However, you still have to wonder, can we, you know, still build up our trench play, which I think is going to be important. Because here's my thing, man. If they can keep recruiting quarterbacks at this rate and find a way to get the guys in front of them, to protect them, to help establish the line of scrimmage and ultimately set the tone up front. I mean, offensively, I feel like we should be pretty solid, man. So just wanted to play that because I thought it was pretty cool that Greg Olsen, my former teammate with the Panthers, had an Alabama commit on his podcast. Like he said, he felt really good about the relationships. Ironically, his final two were also the same as my final two, Alabama and Georgia. Granted, it was a little bit different. It was Mark Richt, the head coach of Georgia when I was coming out of high school. Great guy, man. And definitely praying for him. I know he's dealing with, I think, Parkinson's right now. But still, I think he's doing, you know, a lot of media stuff, and he seems like he's doing pretty well. But Chase, when I tell you he was one of like the most genuine people I met during my recruiting process, it was almost hard to say no to him, right? Because I initially committed to Florida, and then Alabama kept recruiting me. I've already told that story, so I'm not going to bore y'all with that today. But Coach Saban called me after school one day. I guess he had cussed Chris Rumpf out, who's the defensive line coach. He was my main recruiter when I committed to Florida. Allegedly, there was some miscommunication or whatever. They ended up offering me much later than they even told me they had planned on offering me. That's why I kind of just went ahead and committed to Florida. And long story short, Coach Saban called, asked to keep recruiting me respectfully. And then, ended up narrowing it down in the end to Georgia and Alabama, just like Mr. Elijah Haven here. But Mark Richt, man, he was the head coach at Georgia at the time. And, man, when I tell you, he was just so, like, something about him was just so genuine. Now, I mean, I don't know exactly his coaching style. Like, I mean, I can't remember. Because I don't think I ever went to, like, a practice. I visited them in the off season. But just in terms of how he recruited me, man, like, you know, you just get, like, good vibes, good energy. Like, he's talking about relationships. Like, it was kind of that way with Mark Richt in Georgia. And, yeah, it was hard to say no to them. I mean, he even, like, you know, messaged my mom, like, just very, like, nice, kind stuff, like, on an authentic level. It didn't seem, like, superficial like some of these other coaches, and definitely stood out to me. But ultimately, I just couldn't deny playing for Coach Saban and coming to Alabama. I mean, like, that's why it's so funny when we get in these conversations about, oh, the NIL, and people start bringing up the parking lots and the Chargers and the Challengers, and Alabama was paying. And I'm just like, man, like, I've already explained it. Personally, me, I'm sure my teammates probably had some, you know, backdoor deals or things like that. But me, I didn't get anything. And it wasn't because I wasn't a good player. I was a top recruit as well. Never came up in a conversation, never asked for it, nor did I not care about that. But I will say, just the championships, the draft picks, the proof was in the pudding, Chase. I mean, it was just hard to say no. I don't know how most recruits that had offers from Alabama, like, I don't know how you turn it down. I mean, there was so much to... From a football perspective, like, just everything that they laid out for you, it was hard to turn down. Definitely was that way for me. I'm sure that's probably kind of what Elijah Haven is kind of getting at with his decision to come play in Tuscaloosa. All right, we got to hit a timeout. We come back. We keep rolling. We got to talk about this freshman list up next, Chase. Brad Crawford, that's his name. Talked about some freshmen that he expects to have some big impacts in the SEC this upcoming season. Alabama landed a couple guys on that list. We'll talk about it. Plus, there's one guy, maybe two, that I think we could potentially add to the list that I think could also end up having a big impact early on in their career. We'll do that on the other side of this timeout right here on this Talking Tuesday edition of the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230. WTBC, quick timeout. We'll be right back.
By Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Find adventure, power, and performance today at Tuscaloosa Jeep Dodge Ram.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I wanted to tell you about our friends over at Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy, founded by attorney and professor Adam Lamparello, helping students at every level with mentoring, exam prep, applications, and career planning. Adam also represents students, faculty, and athletes in academic misconduct, First Amendment, NIL, and criminal defense cases, known for real care and relentless advocacy. For guidance you can trust, call 201-317-5115 or visit lamparello-law.com. That's Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy.
advocacy. Proud partners.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strong as steel. A specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation...
Deals have had thousands off new and pre-owned at Tuscaloosa, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram. TuscaloosaCDJR.com.
And no tax, right, sir?
Well...
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past, that has not been the case. And this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more info,
it's easy and it's free. Go to MyLocalCustomers.com today.
That's MyLocalCustomers.com. MyLocalCustomers.com.
Stay up to date with the Crimson Tide.
Local high school sports and Bama in the pros right here.
On Tide 100.9.
Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Again, it's Talking Tuesday. Many of you guys are the co-hosts. Want you guys in on the conversation. 205-342-9904 can go anywhere and everywhere. It's one of those days. Dog days of summer are winding down, Chase. I think like 2 weeks away from SEC Media Day, which I think a lot of people kind of bookmark is like the official, I guess, start to, I guess, you know, like college football season, because I think training camp is maybe a week after that. So, definitely get in close. Let's keep talking some football, shall we? Here we go, Chase. Top 10 quarterbacks entering the 2026 season in the SEC. This list comes from none other than Chris Lowe, our guy, friend of ours here on the show, now with On3, formerly of ESPN. And if you see the list, Chase, it's very similar to a lot of these lists that we've been seeing recently. Not a lot of Bama on these lists. Now, for people wondering, are people just hating on Alabama? No, I don't think people are just hating on Alabama, especially a guy like Chris Lowe. Chris Lowe is not that type of guy. Chris Lowe is honestly a great friend of Alabama. He, you know, covered Alabama closely with Coach Saban for years. He was like probably the most trusted media member for Coach Saban and even with Coach DeBoer here, right? I mean, he's a very respectable guy. That said, the reality is, Chase, when you have a lot of newness, a lot of unknowns, right, a lot of guys that haven't necessarily proven themselves, like in the words of my father, the pastor of Payne, they don't have those receipts. It's hard to put guys on these lists, right? I mean, even just go back a year ago, Ty Simpson never really started here at Alabama prior to the 2025 season. I don't think he was on any of these lists. The reality was we knew talent-wise, and then the potential he had when you combine his skill set with this system, with this new staff, I think a lot of people anticipated him being a better quarterback than many people had him going into the season. But without those receipts, it's hard to put him on that list. That said, very similar deal this offseason going into the 2026 football season. According to Chris Lowchase, these are his top 10 quarterbacks in the SEC for 2026. Trinidad Chambliss, number one. Arch Manning of Texas, number two. Gunnar Stockton, number three. John Mateer, number four. Sam Leavitt, number five. Lenora Sellers, number six. Marcel Reed, seven. Byron Brown, transfer to Auburn, number eight. Kamario Taylor at Mississippi State, number nine. And Kenny Minchie, number 10. You don't see anybody from Alabama, neither Austin Mack or Keelan Russell, who, again, was the 8A MVP, lit up the stat sheet. I get it, it was 8A, a spring game, but it wasn't televised, but they did put out highlights. And a lot of people, I mean, word quickly got round, Chase, that Keelan Russell was on fire on A-Day. Now, I know it's a spring game, can't put too much stock into it, but people could clearly see the potential that this young man, this former five-star recruit, top player in the country, has. That said, is it a shocker to you, Chase, given everything we just talked about, that you don't see him or at least back on this list, not even in the top 10? Remember, we're up to like 16 teams in the conference. They are not listed in the top 10. What do you make of this list, Chase?
I'm not necessarily mad about it, Christian. I think just entering into the season, names like Trinidad Chambliss, names like John Mateer, names like Marcel Reed, even Byron Brown, you know, they've proven it on the field against competition. To compare the potential against proven stats and proven play, you have to put that into as a factor. And like you said, Chris Lowe, he's not a Bama hater. He's very much neutral. He's covered Bama when Nick Saban was here. So it would be different if it was like like a Greg McElroy or somebody else like that. But, you know, it's motivation for these quarterbacks. If I'm looking at this and if I'm Keelan Russell or I'm Austin Mack, I prove Chris Lowe and anybody else that feels that I'm not even in the top 10. You know, and I think these quarterbacks, I feel like the SEC has one of the best conferences when it comes to quarterbacks in terms of competition and the star power for this upcoming season. I think one name I'm kind of shocked at a little bit that's not in the top three, I would say, is Marcel Reed a little bit. I feel like he proved a lot last year bringing an A&M team, regardless of what their schedule was, bringing an A&M team that far against one of the national runner-ups in Miami. I think that's kind of questionable, but to answer your question, Christian, I don't think if you're an Alabama fan or media looking at this that you should be mad that none of the quarterbacks are up there, because there's some good quarterbacks up there.
Yeah, no, I mean, listen, Trinidad Chambliss, I have no argument with him at number one. I like him a lot. I think he is just an explosive playmaker, a guy that he's electric, right? I mean, you saw what he did in the college football playoffs with Ole Miss. He's a special player. And with him being able to return to school after receiving, I think he also had an injunction or whatever it was to get him back, I think he's going to have himself a big year this upcoming season. Arch Manning, the second half of the season was much prettier than the first half. We started to see flashes of what many people have talked about what Arch Manning can be towards the end of the year. Matter of fact, they got the win over Texas A&M, which ultimately boosted us into the SEC championship game a season ago. So I don't mind Arch Manning at two. I'm sure some people still, there's, you know, still a lot to be desired out of a guy that has so much hype to him, has had so much hype to him since he was a young man coming out of high school. A lot of it probably having, and I shouldn't say a lot of it, because I hate it when people try to say, oh, well, you're getting recruited because your dad played in the NFL. Yeah, I'm sure people are going to waste a scholarship on a guy just because his dad played football. I mean, Magic Johnson played in the NBA, and I don't think people would necessarily offer his son to school. Anyway, let me not go down that road. You got Gunnar Stockton at number three with Georgia, a very experienced player, a guy that I feel like has gotten a lot more consistent, a lot better, which makes sense, right? The more snaps he has, the more experience he has under his belt, that's what you expect. Now, some guys do the opposite. But Gunnar Stockton, man, he's a player, right? He's not going to be, you know, the flashiest when it comes to his arm talent. I don't think he's necessarily blowing anybody out of the water, but he's a tough football player. He can lead that football team. He's proven that. And I think he's gotten a lot better. I think he's kind of underestimated in terms of his arm talent some. I'm not saying it's necessarily elite, but I think sometimes people kind of drag it out in terms of like, oh, well, you know, he's not a great thrower. Dude can make some plays, man, with his arm, and I don't mind him at three. John Mateer, a guy who was talked about as arguably one of the top quarterbacks in the country last football season prior to that thumb injury that he suffered. When he came back, he just wasn't the same Mateer. I've seen videos of his offseason chase. Throwing motion looks a little bit tweaked, a little bit different. Dude looks like he's in great shape. I saw him squatting a whole bunch in the offseason program. I'm expecting him to have a solid year. Now, when they played us in the playoff game, or even when he played us here in Tuscaloosa, now a lot of his, you know, they just really use a lot of quick game. It was very interesting. But he has some nice throws, man. Like, the thing with John Mateer for me is he has some wow moments, man. He has some moments where you're like, damn, that's why people talk so highly of this young man at one point during the season. And then he has some other plays and some misses where he's just spraying, and you're like, oh, God, man, like, what is going on here? Could it be attributed to the injury, the thumb injury? Could be. I don't know, but we'll have to see this upcoming season. But, again, I think it makes sense that he's up there, at least in that top five. Sam Levitt, highly touted transfer portal player, signs with LSU. People have been talking very highly about him. Of course, you know, what he's done prior, but at LSU, I know he was coming off of an injury himself, I think, but still the talk during the spring, I think he was looking, you know, really good. And I think the expectation is he's continuing to get healthy. And by the time the season comes, he should be all ready to go, and people are really excited about that. Now, here's where I would maybe shuffle some things here. You mentioned Marcel Reaches. I don't know if I'll put him like in top three or so, but I would bump him up maybe a couple slots, definitely probably above Lenora Sellers. Lenora Sellers has a lot of potential, man. And I think he has the potential to be a really good quarterback, but we've been talking about him, that potential, for a while. Now, I will throw this in there. I will acknowledge he has not had hardly any help. South Carolina's running game was very bad last season. I mean, he's a big piece of that. In terms of traditional running game, they don't really have much of it. Offensive line play was really bad for South Carolina. They end up firing offensive line coach, coordinators. I think they've made a lot of changes. They go to the portal. They've recruited a lot. I think they have a freshman that's expected to start on that offensive line. Even at the wide receiver position, I mean, Nick Harbor, I mean, he's a long, you know, take the top off guy, but, you know, track speed type of player. But he just, Lenora Sellers doesn't have a lot of help, but he's also an inconsistent player, in my opinion. I would maybe bump him down. Byron Brown, what he's done at USF, he's very intriguing, right? I mean, he's kind of got those Cam Newton-esque qualities when you just look at the physicality that he brings. I mean, the running ability. Now he's suiting up in Auburn uniform as well. Kamario Taylor has definitely had some flashes. Minchie, I don't know if we've seen a whole bunch from him. I know he transferred in, I believe, from Notre Dame. So here's my thing. I don't really have a problem with this list. Again, I think it's pretty solid for the most part. Maybe shuffle around a couple things. To put a bow on this before we hit this timeout, do I believe one of our quarterbacks, I say one of them because, I mean, really Austin Mack or Keelan Russell, we don't know who the starter is. Could they be on this list even preseason-wise? I mean, I think you could probably sneak them in anywhere between, I mean, I would say at least 9 to 10, you probably could sneak them in. Even if you just go off of potential, I think that wouldn't be a problem. But I also understand that when you don't have receipts, it's hard to put you on a preseason list, right? I mean, it is what it is. Now, I would bet a lot of money, whether it's on CallSheet or whatever these sites these people are using nowadays, that they're, one of our quarterbacks, whoever it may be, Austin Mack or Keelan Russell, whoever ultimately is the starter this upcoming season, I would be willing to bet money, Chase, that by the end of the season, we'll have a quarterback that is at least ranked in the top six. I'm going to go top six. I know that's a random number, but I'm just trying to give us a little bit of a cushion because just like every single year, a lot of these guys with these big names going into the season, we always see this happen, Chase. They kind of fall down the list, right? I mean, even like a season ago, Ty Simpson, I don't think was on the list at all. He ended up being the first quarterback taken from the SEC. Let me think of the draft order last year. Not even last year, just a couple months ago. Chase, please refresh my memory, man. Were there any SEC quarterbacks that went ahead of him? I don't even remember off the top of my head. I don't even remember how the draft went last season. Ty Simpson was the second quarterback taken. Who was the first again? Oh, Mendoza, yeah. Ty was the first quarterback taken from the SEC, and he wasn't even on the list going into the year, and he ended up being arguably one of the top quarterbacks in the conference. So I think that could potentially be the deal. I mean, Keelan Russell, I think, has that type of ability. I think he definitely does, and if they can provide some help for him, I think we can see a guy like that flourish, or Austin Mack, whoever ends up winning the job. But anyway, always fun to talk about these preseason lists, even though I know my dad hates them. It feels like they're a waste of time, but it's always a good talking point. I want to get y'all's thoughts on this. Do you guys have an issue with this list? Do you feel like Keelan or Austin Mack should be on it? Where would you put them? Again, Trinidad Chambliss, number one, Arch Manning, number two, Gunnar Stockton, three, John Mateer, four, Sam Levitt, five, Lenore Sellers, six, Marcel Reed, seven, Byron Brown, eight, Kamario Taylor, nine, and Kenny Minchie, 10. We got to hit a timeout. We come back. We keep on rolling on this Talking Tuesday edition. Open on those phone lines, 205-342-9904. If you guys want to get on the conversation, we'd love to have you right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230, WTVC.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-91.
It may apply. You may receive up to four messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP. This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here
treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors.
And COVID-19 could be one of them. If you test positive, prescription medications may help. Ask your doctor if they're right for you. Learn more at PfizerForAll.com. Sponsored by Pfizer.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I wanted to tell you about our friends over at Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy, founded by attorney and professor Adam Lamparello, helping students at every level with mentoring, exam prep, applications, and career planning. Adam also represents students, faculty, and athletes in academic misconduct, First Amendment, NIL, and criminal defense cases, known for real care and relentless advocacy.
The $10 bucket of the day deal. Every weekday, only at KFC. It's finger licking good.
Prices and participation vary while supplies last. Not available on third-party ordering platforms. Tax extra.
Tide 100.9. Tuscaloosa weather.
Here's your Tuscaloosa and West Alabama forecast. Sunny, hot here this afternoon. Light westerly breezes and about a 1 in 3 chance for an afternoon shower or storm. Tonight, clear, warm, and muggy, low 74. Sunny, hot tomorrow, about a 40% chance of afternoon showers and storms. High tomorrow, 92, and that trend continues into Thursday. Sunny, hot, 93, an afternoon shower or storm chance. Richard Webbing at the Weather Channel for Town Square Media, Tuscaloosa.
It's 93 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
24-7, 365.
We've got all your coverage of the Crimson Tide.
On Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTBC.
Of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. We just got done talking about the top 10 quarterbacks in the SEC entering the 2026 season. I see we got I got Steven on the line from Raleigh. I'm going to take his call, Chase, when we get to the top of the hour, when we come back from that break, so we have plenty of time because we only got about 2 minutes or so until we hit this. But I wanted to throw this out there, too, about the list in terms of the criteria that Chris Lowe was going off. He mentions in the article what jumps off the page about the SEC's top quarterbacks is the level of experience, which has quickly become the norm in college football with the transfer portal and gobs of cash being paid to upper echelon and quarterbacks. Of On3's top 10 SEC quarterbacks entering the 2026 season, 9 will be in at least their fourth year of eligibility. Experience matters, but so does creativity, performing in clutch situations, and finding different ways to win. This is not a ranking of the top 10 NFL draft prospects at the quarterback position in the SEC, but rather how we see the pecking order shaking out based on their productivity and impact throughout the 2026 season. For what it's worth, the SEC has produced 8 first-round picks at quarterback going back to the 2020 draft, more than any other conference during that period. 7 of those went in the first 15 picks. And he mentioned how it's going to be interesting to see how much the list changes or doesn't by the seasons and if any new names appear. So he put a lot of emphasis, Chase, on experience, which we all know, right? Everybody pretty much does when it comes to quarterback play, which is important, right? I mean, it is worth something. If you really go look and study the teams that have been the most successful over the past however many years, I mean, most of the time you see experience play at the quarterback position. So I totally understand that. But he also mentioned, Chase, that was not the only thing. And this is how he saw the pecking order playing out throughout the 2026 season. When I read that, that did kind of confuse me a little bit because that also took into consideration the potential or the outlook of how things will shake out. And if you take that into consideration and you still don't add a guy like Austin Mack or Keelan Russell, Chase, that I guess kind of feels like he doesn't necessarily see them having the biggest impact. Because if he did, I feel like under that second piece, not the experience factor, because they're pretty much not going to check that box. Neither of them have any starting experience. They played some snaps, right? Some cleanup duty, or Austin Mack came in for Ty Simpson when he went down in the Rose Bowl, but they don't really have any experience there. But Chris Lowe mentioned just kind of this overall outlook in terms of their playmaking ability. That makes me kind of scratch my head a little bit, Chase, I'll be honest with you, because I think if you include that in the criteria, and it's not just a preseason list based off of what they've done prior, I am a little shocked that he didn't add at least one of Alabama's quarterbacks. But I guess, like I always do, right, we're not just going to just be emotional because we're Alabama fans. We're going to actually say, hey, well, if he didn't have them on the list, who would they be in front of? Because you can't just throw them on the list. It's a top 10, not a top 11. Who would they be in front of? And I guess for me, I think I could maybe comfortably put them, with everything considered, maybe around the 9 or 10 spot. I mean, maybe you can go around 8, but if we're being honest, I mean, Byron Brown is a quality, I mean, I would say he's a pretty decent quality football player. I mean, he was playing at USF, different league, different conference, but I mean, like, he's got some stuff to work with, and now he's with the big boys in the SEC. We'll see how that translates, but to be fair, I don't think I could necessarily put Keelan or Austin Mack above anybody in 1 through 7 just off rip. I just don't think I could if we're looking at everything involved, but maybe around 8 through 10. I don't know. We do have to hit a timeout. When we come back, we'll go to the phone lines. We got Steve from Raleigh coming up next. 205-342-9904. Love to get y'all's thoughts on these conversations. It's a Talking Tuesday. You guys are the co-hosts, so we're leaving it to you guys right here on the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230. WTBC top of the hour break. We'll be right back after this quick timeout. Don't go anywhere.
WTBC Tuscaloosa and W265 CG Tuscaloosa, a Town Square Media station. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
From the Fox Sports Studios in Los Angeles, Here's Steve DeSager.
Belgium eliminated the United States 4-1 in their World Cup matchup in Seattle. This was the round of 16. Malik Tillman had a free kick goal for the U.S. in the 31st minute, briefly tying the game 1-1. Belgium quickly scored in the 33rd minute. In fact, by late first half, Belgium had a 10-1 shots advantage. Spain in Dallas shut out Portugal 1-0 on a goal in the 91st minute. The Sacramento Kings waived DeMar DeRozan. In baseball's late game, the Dodgers played their first extra inning contest this year and won it in 11 innings against Colorado 8-7. San Francisco pounded Toronto 10-1. Arizona was an 8-0 winner at San Diego. Milwaukee with 4 runs in the 7th beat St. Louis 4-3. The Mets in 10 innings won at Atlanta 7-6. Juan Soto a 3-run homer top of the 9th. Washington 12-11 over Houston. Yankees won at Tampa Bay 5-1. Royals beat the Phillies 15-1.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I wanted to tell you about our friends over at Lamparello Law, Education, and Advocacy, founded by attorney and professor Adam Lamparello, helping students at every level with mentoring, exam prep, applications, and career planning. Adam also represents students, faculty, and athletes in academic misconduct, First Amendment, NIL, and criminal defense cases, known for real care and relentless advocacy. For guidance you can trust, call 201-317-5115 or visit lamparello-law.com. That's Lamparello Law, Education, and Advocacy. Proud partner.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here
treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing
victory over injury.
Learn more at andrewsportsmedicine.com.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strongest steel, a specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact Brian Harding Construction today at 205-752-9611. Again, that's Brian Harding Construction at 205-752-9611.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past that has not been the case. In this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more info on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa, call 205-345-7200 or click on Advertise With Us on our website.
It's time for the Miller's Edge
with four-time SEC champion
and two-time national champion Christian Miller.
Once again with Christian Miller taking him down.
Here is college football playoff national champion
Christian Miller
on Tide 100.9
and 1230 AM WTBC.
We'll be right back.
Talking Tuesday. This is the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Hour number two officially underway. Let's go straight to the phone lines, 205-342-9904. We got Steve from Raleigh. Steve, welcome in.
Roll Tide, Christian. How are you?
I'm good, man. Roll Tide. What's going on?
Good. You have to love list season. Yeah, this is list season. And, you know, we all know Chris Lowe's very good. It looks like to me he chose not to put an unknown on his list because right now Alabama hasn't even named a starter. I think this is a list that known on what is known. Mm-hmm. I agree with you. You know, everything we've heard about Keelan Russell, if it's Keelan Russell, you know, there was a quarterback academy here today that Bama Online quoted saying that he's a freak, and when he goes in, he will not come out. Talking about Keelan Russell.
Yeah.
Did you see that quote?
I did. Was that from like one of his coaches or something like that?
That was a quarterback academy called Old School Quarterback or something like that. Old Time Quarterback.
I got it pulled up right here. I'm going to read it real quick for our listeners. Looks like he's ready to play on Sunday for sure. Saturday in the SEC. His body's big. His body's lean. His body is strong. That was, I think, Brad Frazier on Keelan Russell. It sounds like he's quarterback academy. I think he works with Keelan Russell, I'm assuming. But, I'm curious. I don't think I've seen Keelan in, probably a couple months now. I mean, how much bigger has he gotten? He said he looks ready to play on Sunday. Now, I remember Keelan came in as a little bit of a kind of a lanky kind of guy, but ready to play on Sunday.
That's lanky.
Yeah, I mean, how much weight has he put on the last couple months? I'm curious now. I mean, that's a pretty big, bold claim.
You know, these college weight programs can change a kid in a short time when you start getting into the meal plan and then the program itself.
Yeah,
but, you know, I kind of agreement with you, Christian, about six. You know, if it was you making the list, you said you would, at the end of the year. But mm-hmm. I caveat that, Christian. I think six is kind of the floor.
Okay.
I think six is the floor. If like this academy guy is correct. And you know, you'd much rather be on this list at the end of the year than the beginning of the year. And was debatable top three at the end of the year, or at least during part of the year. And obviously he went the second quarterback overall. And some of that was because there were some quarterbacks that came back to school that probably would have went ahead of him in this year's draft. So therefore, it was beneficial for him to go this year.
Oh, sure. Absolutely.
Perfect storm for Ty Simpson to go this year with the kid from Oregon coming back to school, Chambliss being let in, you know, back into school at Ole Miss. It was perfect for Ty. But Ty was borderline top three at the end of the year, and he wasn't even on the list at the beginning of the year. And the unknown is a factor at the beginning of the year list, I believe.
Yeah, no, it always is. And I know me and my dad kind of went back and forth a little bit about that last season because he kind of was saying the same thing. He hasn't played any snaps. And that, again, a lot of people view it like that, especially old school. They have that mentality that you got to prove it, right? Especially a guy like my dad played 9 years in the league. I get it. It's all about proving yourself. I totally understand. But I gave him some pushback because I said, I mean, I'm looking at this list, and this was just one that I just pulled up just now. Because Ty, I don't think, was on any of the top 10 lists. This one had him as the number 12 quarterback in the SEC going into the year. I knew that was way, way down the list.
Way low.
It was really low. Way low. But if you look at it, they had Garrett Nussmeier's number one. We know how he ended up finishing the year. I mean, he just kind of struggled last year. I know he's kind of banged up and whatnot, but still, he did not perform the way many people predicted he would. Lenore Sellers was number two. Lenoris is always going to get that hype based off of the potential, right? I mean, he's got all the tools, man, and traits, but we just haven't seen it all come together. Granted, he hadn't had the most help either. They had Arch at number three, Diego Pavia four, Lagway from Florida, Mateer, Taylen Green. I mean, all these other names, Marcel Reed, Gunnar Stockton. Hell, Austin Simmons was on the list, and he ended up getting his job taken by Trinidad Shameless, who's now ranked as number one on Chris Lowe's list. So these things are just preseason lists that people come up with, and I fully expect Alabama to have a guy on the list by the end of the year. No doubt about it.
Well, the unknown, Christian, is the offensive line and the run game to complement a quarterback at Alabama. And obviously, Kalen DeBoer has done a ton of things to correct that. He's done everything possible. He's changed the coach. He's brought in 11 new offensive linemen, changed out, you know, people that were, okay, now how can you be upset that Alabama lost the offensive lineman in the transfer portal that they did when what they had looked terrible last year? And I really think it was the guard play more than anything. You know, we rotated those guards left and right. And I believe it's because we didn't have an answer. That's just a Stephen opinion. We didn't have an answer in guard.
Yeah.
Because it was terrible play, Christian. And you know, we have an undersized center with no guard to help him with, you know, not consistent guard play. It was not a good formula for the offensive line. But we'll see this year and how that comes out. Go ahead, Christian. Yeah. I didn't know what we talked to you.
No, you're fine. No, I was going to say that's exactly what I mean. I've watched like three games now because I'm doing a breakdown video on the running game, and I guess I forgot how I was like, man, like the guard play really was that big of an issue.
Terrible,
like, I mean,
terrible,
we always talk about, you know, the offensive line, but realistically, Parker Brailsford, and when he was healthy, he was great. You could work with that, right? Definitely a little bit undersized, but he fit what they wanted to do. But the guard play, man, like, especially when you're talking about, I mean, as much as they love pin and pull, which requires your guards and center to be able to get out, pull, you know, climb to that second level, play in space, those guys just, they weren't great there. But then what was even more frustrating was, like, all right, if you're going to be a big physical guy, you maybe don't move as well, you better be powerful. You better have a punch. You better be able to get good push off the ball if you're running gap scheme, right? If you're even just doing, you know, duo, right, working some combo blocks, you should be able to get good push and good movement. I mean, Dewberry definitely has some power to him. But these guys, finishing their blocks was like, it was almost like they were allergic to it, man. I'm just like, gosh, man.
Dewberry's problem is, to me, Dewberry's problem was he would look good one play and then take three plays off.
Yeah, I agree.
So it was the inconsistency there.
And he's definitely very top heavy, man. Big, powerful guy, but he's top heavy. He didn't really move. He didn't move great.
Very well, yeah. Keylon, now, if Keylon's talent is what these people are saying, you have to remember Bryce Young won a Heisman in his first year with absolutely no experience. And I dare to say that Tua would have won it too if he hadn't got hurt at the end of the year of his true first year started. He would have won a Heisman. But he got hurt, what, Michigan State right there toward the end. Those are two guys with
hardly any experience. He was banging the whole time. I mean, Tua had it rough, man. Unfortunately, I mean, he had all type of high ankles. And remember, didn't he? What game was that with the hip, man? It was like he got twisted from behind.
Was that not Michigan State?
I can't remember. Yeah, I just remember he didn't get down, and he ended up getting folded like a pretzel, man.
That's already 8 years ago. That's hard to believe.
It is. It's crazy. I mean, we had a 10-year anniversary. Yeah, we had a 10-year anniversary for the 2015 National Championship game last year. I mean, think about how crazy that is.
It was yesterday. You know, you think about it when you start getting older, it just seems like yesterday.
Yeah. It flies.
It definitely flies. Roll Tide, I love you, man.
Oh, well, I appreciate it. I appreciate you calling in. Hey, and be on the lookout. I'm going to make a video here probably tomorrow. It's going to be uploaded on Thursday, and we're going to dive into why the run game will improve. Because, I mean, if you just go back and watch, you mentioned the guard play. Just from an execution standpoint, I'm going to point out, I mean, how many times is always just one guy, man. There's one guy who doesn't quite execute his assignment, and it's the difference of no game, 1 yard gain. Easy could be 4, 5, 6 yards a pop. And I think people will be pretty optimistic that you get a new offensive line coach. If you can have him teach better, get these guys coached up and the execution levels higher, even if the talent is, say, right there about what it was, could be even a little bit less. I think from an execution standpoint, that alone will help make the run game improve. Even if it's, you know, by 20, 30 yards per game, I think that can make a big difference. So I'll definitely talk about that soon. But, Steven, I appreciate you calling
in. Can I say one more thing?
Yeah, go ahead.
So we have a new coach, and it looks to me like these players want to play for him. When you got offensive linemen that don't want to disappoint their coach, because Coach Kapp, from indications, is the players, he wasn't even liked. There was a disconnect among the coaching staff, among the players, with Coach Kapp. And so with the new coach, Abe Klim, it seems like these players want to play for him and like him. And that can make a huge difference when you don't want to disappoint that coach and you want to play just a little bit harder when times get tougher. And yeah, I hope we see that this year.
I agree. Yes, sir. Roll Tide, Steven. Okay. You too, brother. Yes, sir. Good deal. Good call, man. Really good call. We got to hit timeout. We come back. We keep on rolling on this Talking Tuesday edition. We're open again on the phone lines. 205-342-9904 if you guys want to get on the conversation. We'd love to have you on this Talking Tuesday edition of Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Quick timeout. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram, Tuscaloosa's destination for iconic Jeeps. Owner loyalty earns $1,500 cash back on a new 2026 Jeep Grand Cherokee.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-9-
Alabama. They've got 5,000 square feet of Irish food, drink, and music. For a great Irish experience, head to the free, that's Innisfree, Irish Pub.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I wanted to tell you about our friends over at Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy, founded by attorney and professor Adam Lamparello, helping students at every level with mentoring, exam prep, applications, and career planning. Adam also represents students, faculty, and athletes in academic misconduct, First Amendment, NIL, and criminal defense cases. Known for real care and relentless.
Trade $10. KALSHI. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see calshi.com/regulatory.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strongest steel, a specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact Brian Harding Construction today at 205-752-9611. Again, that's Brian Harding Construction at 205-752-9611. 9611.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Here's your Tuscaloosa and West Alabama forecast. Sunny, hot here this afternoon. Light westerly breezes and about a 1 in 3 chance for an afternoon shower or storm. Tonight, clear, warm, and muggy, low 74. Sunny, hot tomorrow, about a 40% chance of afternoon showers and storms. High tomorrow, 92, and that trend continues into Thursday. Sunny, hot, 93, an afternoon shower or storm chance. Richard Wedding of the Weather Channel for Town Square Media, Tuscaloosa.
It's 92 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Yes! Roll Tide all the time.
This is Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTBC.
The home of Alabama Crimson Tide sports.
Tuesday edition of the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Let's keep rolling on the phone lines. 205-342-9904. We got our guy Smitty up next. Smitty, welcome in.
How's it going, Christian?
It's going great, brother. How are you?
Good. Thing is, though, first things first, I got a football question for you. All right.
Yes, sir.
Everybody, we know SEC Media Day is going to happen in a couple weeks, and we're going to hit Caleb Board the same old questions about the running game, the offensive line, the quarterback, and recruiting.
I'm glad you already know.
Yes, but when will someone ask him, do you think the offense should go at a faster pace next year? And how much you think that can help things as well? They go a little bit fast. Not saying I go Lane Kiffin fast, but I'm just saying like a little bit of faster pace in every play to go down to the last 3 seconds.
Yeah, I think it could definitely be beneficial. I mean, let's talk about what that does. I mean, when you play with tempo like that, right? I mean, number one, from a conditioning standpoint, as a defender, man, it's tough, right? That's a lot. You got to line up, get back on the ball. You're trying to get the call. Remember, offense, they have the advantage because a lot of times they'll have plays stacked and they already know what they're getting to. Defense, on the other hand, you know, you got to go look to the sideline. Now they got helmet communication. So I'm sure the backer, the green dot guy is communicating that. But you're trying to get on the page, same page, and you're trying to get lined up. And sometimes just that itself can just help create some opportunities that otherwise might not have been there versus – when you're taking things all the way down, like, yeah, it's nice for you to be able to, you know, send some, you know, little motions and do little things to get some indicators from a defense. But you also are giving them time to adjust and audible and then get into a different coverage or a different front, whatever the case may be as well. So, yeah, I'll be honest with you. I think adding some tempo in there wouldn't be a bad idea. I think they started to do that a little bit later on in the year. And it proved to probably, I think, be a little bit successful, if I remember correctly. So, yeah, I mean, I think adding some tempo in there definitely could be helpful. But you just got to make sure your team is ready for that, they can handle that. And that's something you got to practice and condition for, right? It's not necessarily something you can say, oh, all right, you know, we're a huddle team. Then all of a sudden, midway through the year, we're just going to start throwing out tempo. I mean, you really got to train, and your guys have to be ready for that. But I think it's definitely something to look out for because I think it's beneficial.
Yeah, thanks. Because I know that you play at the peak of it. That hurry up! They run a 90+ plays a game. Some of these things, and I think it also helps the run game out as well. And I know a lot of those Texas football, they play a lot of RPO up tempo, and maybe that can help someone like Keelon Russell if he's a starter. But one thing about those lists, I don't get worked up about it because I'm glad they ranked Alabama quarterback the way they did because. Last year, a lot of people had Arch Manning as a number one pick, and the poor guy ain't played a meaningful game. You know, and I'm like, he has put more pressure on the young man. And so I like that. Fly under the radar. Whoever the quarterback is, because I think you're going to be Russell, because my thing is, if you got that much more experience in the system, the race should be close. It's just my opinion, if you're a veteran guy. But if Austin Matthews a quarterback, I'm rolling with him. But I just think that, like, if you haven't seen any meaningful snaps, you should not be a top quarterback in the SEC. Because what are you basing that on, recruiting rankings? But I do think that Marcell Reed.
What about the spring, though? What about the spring, Smitty? I mean, I'll be the first one to tell you, don't put too much stock into spring game performances. But I wouldn't be mad if you're saying, hey, we're doing an overall outlook. You know what I mean? Like, I wouldn't be mad if someone said, hey, Keelan Russell, yes, we know he's a top recruit. We're going to put a little bit of stock into that. Sure, just like you just, I mean, Arch Manning, they put a lot of stock in it with him, right? So it's not like it's never been done. But then also say, hey, we just saw what this guy was doing during the spring game. Yes, it was a spring game, but we saw the flashes. We saw the arm talent. We saw the jets that the dude could turn on when he had to, you know, escape the pocket and improvise a little bit with his legs. Like, I wouldn't be mad if somebody considered that, but I'm also not mad if you don't put them in your preseason because receipts are a big deal, right? And without proving something, it's hard to rank players amongst other players that have gone out and they're not have gone out there and done it.
Yeah, it's like the spring game. Whoa, people say it's just spring, if the guy stunk up the joint, everybody would have gone crazy by now. So we can't just do it both ways. You can't have it both ways in the spring game. And you've been there. And I remember Alabama fans criticizing the team sometimes in the offense. They do well under Saban the spring game, or defense had a rough night in the office. But when they play well in the spring, it's just spring. He can't take anything away from it, you know. But I saw flashes. And the thing I liked about Russell was that he could fit balls into tight windows. That means it's accuracy and throwing on time. Because sometimes, like say he's playing in Georgia, you have to make those throws. Everything is not going to be perfect. Same thing with NFL. You have to make those throws. And those are things I liked. And I think that is the thing that Austin Mack is up against, because fans saw that with their own eyes. And it's just natural human instinct. Okay, we saw this kid go off like this. We expect you to be exponentially better. It's not fair, but it is what it is. And so that's why I thought it's a tough situation for the board. But I don't get caught up on those lists, because even with Ty Simpson, like, okay, he didn't have any meaningful snaps. Let's see what he has. And, you know, you can have him as a top quarterback in the SEC last year, especially what he had to work with. So I just think, like, don't panic with these lists. But I got a question for you, though. Like, a lot of fans, and you know, I was on record when I first started calling the show that I wasn't a grub guy, because living out west, I watched a lot of Seattle games. And those guys hated grub from day one at Seattle. So I was like, I don't know if we should take him. And I always thought Sheridan should have got a second year, because under circumstance, they did a pretty good job under circumstance. And because they did scheme the offense to build roll strengths. They just had a couple of clunkers, and they're like, a lot of teams, they just lost a couple of games. And they were still the first team out of the playoff. So it wasn't a disaster. But I would love to know how many fans were screaming from day one, we got to get rid of Sheridan. We got to hire Ryan Grubb. Who regret that decision now? And I just think sometimes, because I always say sometimes in coaching, it doesn't matter what you did over there, especially as an assistant, what you do now. And I think sometimes, like with Grubb, and you've seen this, the offensive coordinator is quite possibly to be the most stubborn coach on the staff. And because a lot of times here, it's my scheme or the highway. And I just wonder how many fans actually wish they would have had Sheridan for a second year because it wasn't a disaster. You get what I'm saying?
Well, I think the issue with it, Smitty, is Ryan Grubb was let go from Seattle, right?
Yep.
So he was available at that moment in time. And it really probably was a situation where, hey, here's the guy that we initially were supposed to bring over. Not even supposed. Remember, he was here for about a week or so before he took the Seattle job. So I think it would have been tough for them to, A, you know, not explore that, especially knowing that he would have been hired elsewhere. I mean, I know the Seattle experiment did not go well, but prior to that, we're talking about a guy who was being pursued by the likes of Nick Saban, Kirby Smart, allegedly. I mean, he was one of the probably most popular offensive coordinator candidates in college football. So they probably knew that if they didn't bring him back to Tuscaloosa, somebody else would end up hiring him. And they were able to keep both of those gentlemen on staff, right? Because remember, Nick Sheridan stayed on staff last football season and was still considered a co-offensive coordinator. So if you ask me, they probably had a little bit of a best of both worlds scenario, even though we all know, I mean, you can have co-offensive coordinator in your title. You might have a little bit of input here and there, but ultimately the coordinator is going to be the coordinator. And it's not like, I highly doubt, you know, Sheridan was going to override something Grubb said. I'm sure it probably was more so, hey, whatever Grubb said ultimately was the final call. But I will say, you're not wrong in the sense that Sheridan probably deserves a little bit of an apology from some people. I mean, I know he got a lot of criticism, but if you look at the job that he did, and he was working with Jalen Milroe, who was a great football player. I know some people are definitely going to have their opinions between him and Ty, but the point I'm saying is, or I'm trying to make is, you know, he wasn't necessarily the traditional quarterback they would use in their system, but they were able to do a lot of good things offensively with him. I mean, they rushed for like 179 yards on average per game. You look at the numbers. I mean, I want to say a number of categories statistically we were better in. with Nick Sheridan and Jalen Milroe compared to Ty Simpson and Ryan Grubb. So, yeah, I don't know about maybe giving him a – I mean, I wouldn't have mind seeing a second year with Nick Sheridan and seeing what he could have done with Ty Simpson, being that's probably a little bit more of a fit. But I just feel like they didn't want to risk not – going after Grubb and then somebody else signing him or him taking another job. But then it's just kind of like, well, what if we could have gotten the guy who was the coordinator when we went to, when we had a national championship game appearance? You know what I mean? I feel like it just was probably hard to turn that down.
Hey, you know, a good point on that. And the thing is also, I think the other issue was the expectations. A lot of fans and media looked at him as like a savior. And a lot of times you could be let down by expectations. But at the same time, if you're a good coach, you get better, and you learn from last year. And I think, like Kane Womack, he learned. Because we saw more, like you said, four-man fronts. I remember the Oklahoma game that first year. I'm like, why are you running three-man fronts and the quarterback's running every time? You know, stuff like that. And so you can tell he got better at that regard. But you guys made a good point also about some of those coaches not getting contracts. Look, I like Freddie Roach, but we got to be honest here. All these years, you know, or like – Gillespie, or even like even Grubb. I like that message Kalen DeBoer sent by not extending Grubb, because the hardest thing to do is fire your friend. And if he's not producing, you don't get another contract. I'm sorry. You gave him a shot. But I do think this offense is going to improve this year because it can't get any worse. And one more thing I got to give you credit on, I hang up. When I watched those breakdowns you've done over this season with the offensive line, and when everybody talks about Indiana this, Indiana that, even Georgia and stuff like that, but Georgia line was young last year, but they got better. A lot of it's, correct me if I'm wrong, is doing your job, you know?
Yeah.
It's that simple, because like you thought, Michael Carroll get to that second level. Look how many more yards I can get a running back. Or finishing your blocks. Finishing your blocks, correct me if I'm wrong here, that kind of sets tone as well, like a physical tone.
And it does.
Yeah, if you get a whistle, if you get a flag for it, we'll, like you say, we'll work with that. We'll live with that every once in a while. But sometimes you got to set a tone there. And I think, like with Carroll, some of these other, like with Brailsford, people don't understand, when he hurt his ankle, he couldn't move laterally. So he, as an offensive lineman, you screwed when you can't move laterally. But I want to, for these younger guys here, I know they're young. I know they don't have experience on the line. If I could get hunger and finishing blocks, hitting that second level of physicality, I could live with inexperience. But you can't. But if you ain't hitting that second level, if you ain't physical and hungry, I don't care how much experience you have. We had that experience last year, but we didn't have that physicality of finishing blocks. I roll with that with the young guys because you get experience as long as you're getting those other things. But, hey, keep up doing the great work, Chris. I just wanted to chime in and answer that football question also. But, hey, you have a good one.
No, appreciate you, Smitty. You too, brother. Good stuff, man. I always enjoy Smitty calling in. We got to hit a timeout. When we come back, we keep on rolling. We'll go back to the phone lines. We got Carson, who we haven't heard from in a minute. So let me mute this real quick. I don't know. Maybe Chase stepped away. Okay. All right. I'll meet at the station for a second. I don't know if somebody stepped away from behind the glass. But we got to hit a timeout. When we come back, we'll keep on rolling on the phone lines. We got Carson up next. Haven't heard from Carson in a minute. We got T-Man on the lines. We'll get to T-Man as well. We'll keep on rolling on this Talking Tuesday edition of the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here
treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the
pain and more. No referral, no problem. Search DCH Spine Care on Google. DCH's Spine Care Center. Get back in the game.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I wanted to tell you about our friends over at Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy, founded by attorney and professor Adam Lamparello, helping students at every level with mentoring, exam prep, applications, and career planning. Adam also represents students, faculty, and athletes in academic misconduct, First Amendment, NIL, and criminal defense cases, known for real care and relentless advocacy. For guidance you can trust, call 201-317-5115 or visit lamparello-law.com. That's Lamparello. Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy. Proud partner.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Hardy Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Hardy Construction is woman-owned and strong as steel. A specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30 plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact
50 sales event, thousands off new and pre-owned at Tuscaloosa, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, TuscaloosaCDJR.com.
And no tax, right?
Well,
your front row seat to all things Alabama.
Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTPC, the home of Alabama Crimson Tide sports.
Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Let's keep on rolling on the phone lines, 205-342-9904. We got Carson up next. Carson, welcome in.
What's up, man? How you doing?
Good, man. Long time to see. Carson, how's everything, brother?
Oh, it's good. Just getting prepared for the baby on the way. So a lot of painting, a lot of putting stuff together, you know, trying to play golf here and there.
Wait, is it a second one or last time we talked, y'all found out that you were having a baby. Okay, so now, okay, got it. I was like, wait, dang it, you're moving quick, man. I thought last time we talked, you just were starting daddy duties. You're already going for round two.
Yeah, bro, that'd be insane. And I don't wish that on anybody, but that, I mean, more power to you if you're, that's your family planning. Holy cow. But
that'd be a lot.
Yeah, man. It's been good. Just been watching all the, we're in the dog days of summer, truly. So with football, I'm super excited, but it's just like, golly, some of these topics are, they can get out of hand really quick if you're not careful.
They can. But, absolutely. They definitely can.
Yeah, but something Smitty had asked about Kalen DeBoer talking about tempo and talking about, you know, checks at the line of scrimmage and stuff like that. If you guys haven't watched it, the full interview, if you watch the full interview of Kalen DeBoer on Cole Kublik's show, he asked him a little bit about that, about getting into the right play and how satisfied are you and, you know, some of that stuff. And Kalen DeBoer had spoken to it a little bit about, you know, we want to get in the right play and but, you know, at the end of the day, we got to be more sure of ourselves, which I think sometimes Ty got tricked. Sometimes it's just growth. It's not a knock. It's just, hey, inexperienced quarterback, really high level IQ, but doesn't mean he's foolproof, you know. So he had mentioned that a little bit, but what I really wanted to talk about was just how disrespected the Alabama quarterback position has gotten for probably the past 10 years, 15 years. I mean, every preseason outside of, you know, Bryce Young and Tua, I mean, it's not like Jalen Hurts was super high on these preseason lists. Mac Jones was at the bottom of that list, and he had a darn near Heisman campaign the year that Devontae Smith won it. And I mean, you could argue the things around him, but that's not the point. The point is he was very successful, and same with Jalen Milroe. I mean, Jalen Milroe wasn't high on those rankings his first year and finished third in Heisman voting. I mean,
something like that.
To me, it's just super unreal how disrespected the quarterback position in Alabama gets. I mean, seriously, these pundits, you never can take anything of what they say because it just seems so unserious to me, because it's not really looking at the players and their individual skills. And there's a Bama bias always. But I will say, I hate to do this because I hate to be a generalist about some things, but under Kalen DeBoer, I mean, seeing the Alabama's ranking that low or not having a quarterback on the list is a travesty, because I would argue that under Kalen DeBoer, under Ryan Grubb, despite individual play, I think that you could safely put Alabama's quarterback position, no matter who it is, in the upper half of the SEC rankings, for sure. Mm. Like, maybe even top five. Like, I understand, like, that quarterback has to go out there and perform and do things, but I just, like, look at the track record, look at the way we recruit, like, look at the emphasis that Kalen DeBoer puts on getting high-level talent at quarterback into the room. The consistency at multiple different places. I mean, Ty Simpson is a first-round draft pick. They turned him into a first-round draft pick in that offense. Jalen Milroe was drafted as a quarterback as well. And you go before that, Michael Penix, even Jake Haner at Fresno State. Like, a lot of people don't realize, like, Jake Haner was a baller at Fresno State. Got himself drafted, being in that offense for a little while. So I just think, like I said, I don't like to do that, but I think if I were a betting man, I would just kind of put my money on, well, the quarterback, whoever it is at Alabama, is going to finish. There is a safe floor. I don't know. I kind of want to hear your thoughts about that.
Yeah, no, I mean, you're just going off of the track record of their development at the position, the system, you know, the consistency in which they put out quarterbacks. I mean, like you said, I mean, Michael Penix, Ty Simpson, those guys most recently, but if you do go back and do some research, you'll see they've definitely done some good stuff for that position. I hear what you're saying. I just think for me, it is hard to put guys on a list just based off of that itself, right? But I could understand why you would feel confident in that. Now, I don't know if I would say top five automatically strictly based off of that, but if you're also including in the equation a guy like Keelan Russell, you know, what he was ranked coming out of high school, not that the rankings just mean everything, but you're saying, hey, this is a former five-star top quarterback, top player in the country. He's in a system that has been shown to really benefit quarterbacks, kind of like if you had an edge guy in a system that is shown to, you know what I mean? Like, those, every year they're pumping out edge players. They let those guys get in wide nines and they're rushing and you just see a bunch of sacks from those spots. I see what you're saying. So, I mean, listen, I think that's part of why people are confident that Alabama should easily have a player on the list by the end of the year. I think that does play a role. I mean, even just the fact that they're probably going to be throwing the ball on average 30-something plus times on average per game. I mean, so opportunity is a big deal. A lot of people don't speak about opportunity. Well, that's a big one. I mean, if you're giving a quarterback that many opportunities, he should have some pretty decent numbers, I would imagine, by the end of the year.
Yeah. And, I mean, that's kind of like where my head's at. And it's like, of course, it's a gamble. Like, it's not like I'm sitting there saying completely foolproof, like it's surefire. But I'm just like, if I'm a gambling man, I'd be willing to, like, maybe throw a little bit of money towards that and be like, the Alabama quarterback, no matter who it is, like, as much as we love Keelan Russell's talent, individual talent, I love it. I mean, the kid's a stud, just from a talent perspective. And if Austin Mack beats him out for the job, well, then I'm like, okay, well, I'm not going to sit there and say, oh, the coach has got it wrong, you know, because obviously they're seeing something that we're not. So I just think, like, I don't know. If I were to put my money on it, Alabama would definitely have a quarterback in the top five to top eight range of the SEC for sure, upper half. And the only reason why I bring that up and say it that way is because it's seemingly like no sports writer, no analyst ever has the Alabama quarterback in a high ranking in the preseason rankings during the summers and stuff like that. And I'm just like, why? Why would you do this to yourself? So you have to eat crow in the middle of the season. Like, don't do it to yourself. Just make the gamble. Like, just make the gamble and go ahead and go out on a limb and go ahead and put Keelan Russell or the starter for Alabama in that category, because more than likely you would be right. That's all I'm saying.
No, and I hear what you're saying. I mean, because I fully believe that by the end of the year, I don't know exactly where they'll land, but I'd feel pretty confident if I was a betting man saying that they'll be on this list somewhere by the end of the season. But I guess sure. The other point that he's probably thinking, or I guess if I had to give a counter to what you're saying, Carson, would be, say you threw him in at 9 on the list, which I think wouldn't be a problem. I think you could throw him in at 9 just off of the potential alone and maybe what you saw out of the spring game, some of those flashes, and like you mentioned, the system, all those factors. But here's the deal. What's the difference if he ends up being a top 3, top 5 quarterback by the end of the year? If you put him at 9 or if you leave him unranked totally, what's the difference, right? If you put him at 9 and he ends up being a top 3 or top 5, you still look like you got to eat crow at that point anyway. You know what I mean? So it'd probably not make a huge difference. So I'd probably say you put him at 9, probably is not a huge difference in leaving him unranked if he ends up being a top 3 or top 5 guy by the end of the year anyway. That'd probably be my only counter to that. But Carson, good to hear from you, man. It's been a while. I'm glad you're busy, but you got some good stuff going on. I know you're excited about that, but hopefully we'll get you back for football season once, you know, you kind of get things settled down, and look forward to having you back on here calling in and talking some football, man.
Absolutely, man. I appreciate you for taking my call, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Take care, brother. We appreciate you, Carson.
You as well.
Yes, sir. Good stuff, man. All right, we got to hit this timeout. We come back. We keep on rolling on this Talking Tuesday. We only got a few minutes left. I know we got 2 calls we got to take real quick. So we'll do that when we come back right here on the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230, WTVC.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393.
COVID-19 could be one of them. If you test positive, prescription medications may help. Ask your doctor if they're right for you. Learn more at PfizerForAll.com. Sponsored by Pfizer.
From kickoff to the final whistle,
we've got you covered.
Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTBC.
WTVC. Let's get T-Man on here if he's still on the line. Is T-Man still with us? Going once, twice. T-Man, you there? Man, I think he might have dropped. T-Man, I apologize, man. Hey, listen, we've been going quick, though. We've been getting people on here much faster, so I apologize. Hopefully, we can get you on tomorrow because we only got a few minutes left. But we do have Digger, I believe, who wanted to chime in real quick. Digger, help us close things out. Yeah, not dinner. I'm a little hungry, man. I think I'm thinking about lunch. Digger, yeah, I'm going to let you close us out again today, man.
Real quick, I know I struck a nerve yesterday because the fallout was heavy yesterday, especially from Dirt from Valdosta. They were all whining and complaining about. I was sitting there, and I said, and there was not one thing I said that was not true. yesterday. But the bottom line here, I want to ask about this quarterback list. Where was Arch ranked at? Because I came in late.
He was number two, I believe, behind Trinidad Chambliss.
Okay. And so
that's fair.
I'm being serious. Well, come on, Trinidad. How many years has he been in it? 6 years now? Come on.
No, I think this is really just – no, I think it's just his fifth year, actually. If I'm not – I think he might be a fifth-year guy.
All right. If it's his fifth year, okay, good for you. We'll see how you do this year. But the bottom line is that the reason why you don't have a quarterback in the top 10 is because who has played even a half of a game last season? Come on.
Austin, when did Ty Simpson get hurt? I think he got hurt in the second quarter, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess Austin Mack played a half in the Rose Bowl against a good Indiana team. But listen, I already know. It's hard to put them in here when they haven't played. I'm just saying, like, knowing that they've got a lot of potential, I wouldn't have been mad if they threw him in there at like 9 or 10. Mm-hmm. I mean, how many snaps has Kenny Minchie played?
Right.
I don't know.
Real quick, this is what I'm going to say. This is what happened to Arch last year, okay? He was overhyped, and they blitzed him 70% of the time. Hello, that's what's going to happen to you guys. If you're a rookie and you haven't played out there, they're going to load 8 in a box, and they're going to blitz you 70% of the time. Let's see how you respond to that, okay? I guarantee you it's going to be a shaky 4 games, and then he's going to learn from that. It'll slow down, and then he's going to get better as the season goes on, okay? Maybe he'll warrant the top 10 in the SEC, maybe not. But prepare yourself. You will be getting blitzed constantly, because that's what they did to Arch, okay? So I'll let you go on that.
Let me know what you think. That's the right idea. Yeah, no, I was just going to agree with you. Yeah, I appreciate that, Digger. Listen, I agree with them because that is what you should do. Whenever you're facing a young quarterback like that, you want to put pressure on them, make them uncomfortable, right? So he's not wrong. I agree with them. Alabama should expect that. But I do believe that if you prepare correctly and you understand what's coming, right, when you do blitz, right, it's kind of high risk, high reward. You know, you're setting yourself up to be a little vulnerable, and I think, you know, if you start working the screen game in there, that's one way to slow down pass rush, too. There's a lot of things, and we'll talk about that when we have more time. But we got to get out of here. Before we do, got to remind you about our friends over at Lamprella Law, Education Advocacy, our official lawyer and representation here on the show. Make sure you guys check them out for any of those representation needs, whether it's any criminal defense case, NIL, academic misconduct. They've got you covered, as well as those services they offer to high school, college, and graduate students, academic and career planning, subject matter mastery. The list goes on. Check them out for a free consultation. Lamprello-law.com is their website. Adam and his team would be happy to help you guys out. Please contact them. Let them take care of you like they do us. And most importantly, it's affordable representation that all of us can't afford, especially during these times, man. Things are expensive nowadays, except Lamprello Law, Education Advocacy. That'll do it for us on this Talking Tuesday. Big thanks to everybody tuning in via radio, our streams, YouTube, X, Facebook, all that good stuff. Big thanks to Chase behind the glass. Always fun with you guys. And of course, we'll be back doing it again tomorrow for a Wednesday wild card edition right here on the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Hope you guys have a great rest of y'all's day, and we'll see you guys tomorrow.